Doyen.
There's enough going on right now. There are enough X factors still remaining that that's one I'd rather not contemplate.
Correct. You are, as usual, correct, Desi Doyen.
Tune in to the broadcast every Monday at 3 p.m. right here on KPFK.
You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles. The time now is 1 p.m.
From the icy cold curves of Angeles Crest to the sunny shores of PCH and beyond, and on the internet at kpfk.org, this is The Car Show, broadcasting this Saturday and every Saturday here on KPFK for over 52 years. I am your humble host, Mark Vaughn of AutoWeek.com. I am joined this week and every week by the greatest co-host in the world, a practicing attorney specializing in automotive law, our Orange County Bureau Chief, Motor Press Guild member, and an owner of two Mazdas, Michelle Spencer. Welcome, Michelle.
Hey, Mark. It's great to be back with you guys on The Car Show to talk about everything going on in Southern California and in the news with cars.
We missed you last week. Somehow, Carl and I struggled through. Oh, I got it. I didn't introduce him yet. And this week we are, of course, happy to welcome back our semi-regular co-host, former sub-editor of Super Street, former executive at Kelley Blue Book and Edmunds.com, current executive analyst at iccars.com, owner of more cool cars than almost anyone we know, Carl the Power Brower. Welcome, Carl.
Hey, woo! Always love that intro. It almost makes up for the amount of time I spend here with you, Mark. So thank you very much.
No, I'm able to balance that out.
Yeah. No, it's always great being on with you guys. So thank you for including me once again. Love talking cars with you.
Let's dive right into it. We start out with things going on here in Southern California, car-related things, and we have an update on Sunset GT. It is back. It is tomorrow, June 1st, and it is at 9 a.m., but it is not at the old location on Sunset Boulevard. Instead, Sunset GT is going to be at the Peterson Automotive Museum, or El Pete, as I would desperately like everybody in L.A. to start calling it. And not getting a lot of response on that, but I will keep trying. As you know, Peterson Museum is at 6060 Wilshire Boulevard at the corner of Wilshire and Fairfax in Los Angeles. It is put on by a mega super hypercar dealer called O'Gara Coach. And they make, so, okay, I'm going to just list the brands that O'Gara represents, because these are the cars that you will then see at the Sunset GT tomorrow, June 1st at 9 at the Peterson Automotive Museum. These are alphabetical, so we don't play favorites. Aston Martin, Bentley, Bugatti, Koenigsegg, Lamborghini, McLaren, Pininfarina, Rimac, or Rimac, as so many of us here who don't speak the language pronounce it, and Rolls-Royce, but they also have Günther Works, Levante, Thornley, Kelham, and many others. And among the cars that you are likely to see up there, and we don't know exactly what's going to be on there, but at previous shows we have seen cars like this, that would be to consider the McLaren Elva. That's the open-topped, super hyper, wonderful, really cool-looking car. The Koenigsegg Regera, McLaren, Stena and P1, Bugatti Chiron Supersport 300 Plus, Lamborghini Sian Roadster, and a 1953 Thornley Kelham Lancia Aurelia B20 GT Outlaw Coupe, the same one that we saw at Concorso Ferrari. So it's a cool event, and they are just simply remarkable hypercars. The last time I went, I think, was before COVID. So it's been a long time. So it's really neat to see these guys back. And I was amazed. I couldn't believe what I was looking at. Maybe you will be amazed too. I don't know. We'll see. But that's coming up tomorrow at the Peterson at 9 a.m. So be there. Speaking of being there, let's see. We got Corner Exit, a group that puts on racing events. Is going to be at Apple Valley Speedway June 1st tomorrow. and also September 20th and November 16th. Apple Valley Speedway, you might not have known about it. It's out there in the desert on your way to Vegas, just on the right after you exit Victorville. So it's a pretty cool event. There is also at Willow Springs a Cal Club event this weekend. It's going on right now through June 1st at Willow. We're going to talk about the future of Willow Springs a little bit more in just later in the show. But that is going on right now. If you happen to be out that way, or if you want to see Cal Club, of course, is one of the historic Southern California road racing clubs that has been around. Boy, I think for some reason, 1953 is stuck in my head, but it could be earlier than that. So that's kind of fun. Who wants to take us down to San Juan Capistrano? Michelle, you want to do that?
Of course. Don't you want to go see VWs?
Yep.
Don't you want to see all kinds?
Hey, I owned several VWs. I still own one. Eurovan. It just cost me $475 today. I'll tell you that story if anybody wants to call in. But
yay.
I won't take up valuable airtime. So what's going on, Michelle?
Well, it's called the June 1st, 2025 VW Revival. And this is down there in Capistrano, like you said, at the Riding Park, which is at Avenida de la Pata, San Juan Capistrano. Happens to be the same place where the 356 Club has their concourse in, I believe, in August. So you may have been down there before. It's a huge park. Very nice. It's wonderful for a car show. It just goes on and on and on. So there's probably, I would think, going to be a large turnout because they have a lot of room for this. So if you would like to have more information, let me see where the time is. Okay, 8:30? Okay, 8 o'clock. You can start your looking and judging. And then live music at 9:30. Car show ballots, if you're going to vote, are due at 11. Then they do awards at noon. So this would be fun. So to get more info, go to bugin.com. Very cute.
There were a lot of bug-ins, Carl, before the import tuner craze. And the JDM scene, as the kids call it, there were bug-ins. Do you remember those?
I do remember those. They definitely predated the Super Street, Fast and Furious, Hot Import Nights era that I got to witness kind of firsthand. But yeah, before that, there were European import tuner cars. They just all had them in the back of the car behind the passenger cell in Volkswagens.
Yes. I had two VW bugs. I had a 74 and a 79.
Convertible. So I've never...
Convertible. 79. Champagne
edition.
I've never
owned one. I've never had a bug, but believe it or not, that's what I took my driver's license test in. It's a long story, but that's...
Wow. Manual transmission?
Yes, a manual transmission, dark blue Volkswagen Beetle, probably early 70s.
What was the name of the semi-automatic transmission in Volkswagen's?
I know. I had a friend that had one of those. It was so weird. And the gas pedal was shaped like a foot. Do you remember?
That was an aftermarket thing you could get.
Yeah. Oh, yes. It was so weird. What was that called?
But it was like some kind of auto stick. So there was no clutch pedal. And you would just move the shifter from first to second and so on. I guess it worked. I never heard.
I'm sure it was quite thrilling. I'm sure that it just added to the driving experience, like all those early automatics did.
Sure.
Sure. So that's at bugin.com. Carl, take us up to Pismo.
Pismo? Well, Pismo's fabulous. You get to drive on the beach. Yeah, you get to drive on the beach on Pismo. It's one of the few places you can still do that without, the environmental cops swooping in and taking you to jail. But there is the classic at Pismo Beach event that's going on both today and tomorrow, I guess.
That's all weekend.
It's all weekend. And top down cruising in downtown Pismo Beach, which I got to tell you, again, it's kind of like not the most normal place or typical place to go to because it's not really close to any other big cities. But if you cruise that Central Coast area, it's really beautiful. The whole Pismo area is beautiful. So yes, I would highly recommend if you can remotely be in that area this weekend, check it out.
Yeah. And they have beautiful photos on their on their website. So, go check it out. Okay. Now let's see. Oh, and Michelle, this one's yours. Next one. It's all you.
Mm-hmm. Right. Down out in Chino Hills. Every June, they have this Friends of Steve McQueen car show out at Boys Republic. And it's tomorrow, Sunday, June 1st, 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. This year, the theme, it's always a movie that Steve McQueen starred in. This year's theme is Magnificent Seven. All proceeds benefit the Boys Republic, where, as everyone knows, Steve McQueen was a young at-risk youth in the 40s and ended up getting rehabilitated and was able to become a functioning member of society. And he always credits Boys Republic for that turnaround in his life. So there's a lot of supporters. It's amazing that the place still functions as a place where at-risk youth can go, both boys and girls, even though it's Boys Republic. So the only fee that they have for this is a $10 parking fee, which does go to Boys Republic. If you would like to donate more, you can do that at the door. If you don't know where it is, Chino Hills is off the 71 freeway, 1907 Boys Republic Drive. There should be a lot of Mustangs, Porsches. The 356 Club is always very involved with this every year. It's a classic show. They have tons of motorcycles as well. They have food vendors. It's a full day. And I always find the best thing to do is hang around in the parking lot because there's some great stuff in the parking lot.
Yeah, and you will see every green 67 Mustang Fastback in America will be there with the appropriate wheels. And if it doesn't have the appropriate wheels, people will point out that it doesn't have the appropriate wheels.
Yes, it will. And the Jaguars, there's a Jazz there.
Like so many classic cars, there are far more 67 green Mustang, 68 green Mustang Fastbacks today than were ever produced by Ford in 68.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Right. So if you want more info, go to stevemcqueencarshow.com.
All right. Thank you. And if you want to go, this is we're skipping ahead now toward next week. We have the Peterson Automotive Museum is going back in time to the 80s and 90s. I don't know about you guys, but I have been desperately trying to forget those decades.
Oh, no.
And yet the Peterson is bringing them back every time I get out.
Okay. I like the 80s, not so much the 90s, but yes, the 80s were fun for cars.
They were, according to the Peterson, totally awesome.
Yes,
exactly.
So we're going to have more about that. I'm going to go see the exhibit Thursday, and maybe I'll have a report for you next week with more details about, I was wrong about, I will be able to say I was wrong about those decades, and they were, in fact, great. So we'll see if I am transformed.
Let me know if they have any Mazda rotaries, like the, RX-7s in the
pickup truck was the only Mazda rotary that, we could have this discussion forever. But let's not get sidetracked because we got to go to Huntington Beach next. Who's near Huntington Beach? Which one of you guys is closest?
Both of us are. I think I'm closest. It's hard to believe, but Huntington Beach, which is I always like to say the official city car of Huntington Beach is a lifted pickup truck. But for whatever reason, they do have a Concours d'Elegance, and it's happening next weekend, June 7th and 8th, at their Central Park, not at the pier. Don't go to the pier for this. It's at their park, which is at 7111 Talbert in Huntington Beach. So it's not at the beach. Yay.
And you won't Dave Koontz
is with parking.
Dave Koontz, former editor, host of this show, will be there. I believe he's not just the MC, but I think he's the Grand Marshal this year. So you can go there. Maybe he'll give you an autograph.
Who knows? But I want to hear someone say the name of the show. Go ahead. Someone say it.
Huntington Beach Concours d'Elegance.
Oh, sorry. I'm looking at the next one down. Sorry.
Dolce e Veloce.
Okay.
That's another thing. We're back at the Peterson on June 8th. Dolce e Veloce. Remember, we have spoken about Macanissima, which is a really cool show of really cool curated Italian cars. And of course, I say curated and really cool because my Lancia has been in those. And if it starts and I get it all the way down Wilshire Boulevard, it will be at Dolce E. Veloce at the Peterson on June 8th. They're also having, they're announcing at the same time, Machinissima 3 or Machi 3 will be on September 27th. We'll keep you up to date on that. So Yay. That will be a lot of fun. They say, we are so thrilled to do a morning show with the Peterson Museum. The very first Dolce e Veloce. Now they say E like the letter.
Yes.
And I don't know. Somebody who speaks Italian can tell me whether it should be the E or the Y. But they said the E, so I'm going to go with them, I guess, on that.
Okay, it's the E. If the Y is for Spanish.
Thank you. See, Michelle, there's so much depth on our talent here. So I am impressed. Thank you, Michelle. They promise they will bring the Machinissima magic to the Peterson on June 8th from 9 a.m. to noon. Get your cars and bikes ready and grab a ticket at peterson.org/events/Dolce e Veloce 2025 or something like that. So that will be fun. Good time will be had by all. Mm-hmm. You can see me cursing at my Lancia when it won't start. So
I think that would be worth the price of admission.
Be worth. Yes. Well, I think the price is free to get into this, but I think if you're going to display a car, I think you have to pay. I don't know. Go to peterson.org.
Well, you better find out if you're going to putt okay. down the road there.
All right. In that general vicinity, also on June 8th, from starting at 8 a.m., is the Helms Bakery Cars and Coffee. And that is our buddy, Johnny Lieberman. Well, my buddy, I don't know if he has a lot of buddies out there in the world. He is polite enough to pretend he knows me when I show up and say, hey, can I have your autograph? So that will be the Helms Bakery Cars and Coffee. This is the second one. They are promising that they will have coffee on sale before 8 a.m. So it's a good time will be had by all. Helms Bakery, of course, is down there in Culver City, right? You can't miss it. It's on Helms Avenue, I think.
Can you get a loaf of bread while you're at the car show?
Sadly, no. Uh-oh. But somebody should be down there selling bread. Just you know, rebag some Wonder Bread and just say, yeah, oh, this
I
is...
I think we should do it.
All right. Michelle, take us to Pasadena.
Pasadena, yes.
Just that's from...
L.A. Story.
K-Rock. Yes. K-Rock.
Exactly. Did I just out myself as an old K-Rock listener?
Who was the DJ who said that? Pasadena, fly low and avoid the radar.
Exactly. Dusty Street. She.
All right.
Dusty Street. She.
Wow, you guys are digging into the archives of LA radio here, which
God,
is
I'm
cool.
Having, I feel
I
so
know there's some listeners who are like, I remember that.
They're like, boomers, yay. All right. 23rd annual Pasadena. Police Department Car Show. Rev up your engines for a day of automotive fun on June 14th. Isn't that Father's Day weekend, I think? From 10 to 3 on 300 East Colorado Boulevard. If you have a car that you would like to show in the City of Roses, they have pre-registration, but you have to get that done by June 7th. So don't mess this up. You'll get one dash plaque and one limited edition t-shirt while supplies last. And they'll have cool rides, chat with fellow car enthusiasts. They'll have food and drinks. And guess what? It's free.
Good. I like that price. And on Sunday, June 15th, which is Father's Day, I believe, is Concours on Rodeo. So we're hoping next week to have everybody's best friend, Bruce Meyer, on the show to tell us all about that. That's a good time. They shut down the entire street and pack it with cars. And once in a while, you know, you see some celebrity walking around there. Don't scream and point and beg for an autograph. Just be cool. Okay.
Not cool.
Everybody
alone.
Cool. Yeah. So hopefully we will have Bruce on here to talk about that. And quickly, let's just do a couple quick hits. Women's Motorcycle Show is on June 17th at Auto Conduct in downtown LA. Right there, if you Google Auto Conduct, you'll find it. Wheels and Waves. Oh, this is a different thing. This is if we don't have time to go into that.
In France?
In France, yeah. No, this is going to be a cool, it would be a really cool couple of weeks. If you don't have a vacation or if you just got fired Go to Wheels and Waves June 11th to 15th in Biarritz, France.
Okay.
And then go to Le Mans June 21st and 22nd. And then go to the Nürburgring 24 hours. No, Le Mans, sorry. Back up. Le Mans is June 14th and 15th. Mm-hmm. And then go to the Nürburgring 24 hours on June 21st and 22nd.
That's true. La la.
We just planned your European vacation for you right here on the car show. And that's all. That's all we have for the calendar section. Oh, Toyota Fest, June 28th, but we'll get to that later. Oh, and one more thing. Old Mission Motor Show right in front of the Mission in Santa Barbara, July 12th.
Nice. To
put all that in your calendar.
Beautiful for photos. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm.
It is. It'll be really nice. They have that huge lawn in front of the Mission.
Mm-hmm. So,
all right. Now, the news section. I feel it my duty to inform you when roads become open. So all the roads in the Sierra Nevada are open. The mighty Sierra welcomes you with open arms or, you know, open asphalt or something. So US 395, there has been a fire right there by Mono Lake, but the 395 is open now. The fire is still going, so slow down, be careful. Tioga Pass, Highway 120 through Yosemite Park is open. Sonora Pass, Highway 108, open. Magnificent Monitor Pass, Highway 89 is open. You can even get to Bodie, which is, you know, it closes down maybe sometimes in the winter, but Bodie you can get to. And also Lake Mary Road in Mammoth Lakes is open. So there's no excuse not to go out and have a good time. And speaking of having a good time, we were talking a little bit earlier about Willow Springs, and just a little update. We don't really have a whole lot of information about it. There are a couple of events still on the calendar, but the calendar itself is no longer on the website. If you go to, so we're sort of in a way speculating about the future of this. They are not opening up a lot of information about it, but the website claims the future is bright for America's oldest permanent road course. And then they don't go into a lot of detail. We asked our buddies at Con Media who represent Willow Springs, and they, I asked, are you having events this summer? And they said, historically, the track has seasonally been less busy in the hot summer months, and the current schedule has no bookings from July through the end of August. And they will use that time to train employees on track safety and other operating procedures, as well as perform overdue maintenance to racetracks and supporting infrastructure. The goal is to hit the ground running once bookings pick back up in September and into the fall. So I asked, well, are you building anything? Are you tearing anything down? You know, what's going to happen to the House of Charmin? Remember the House of Charmin? Has anybody ever been out to Willow Springs? Yes, magnificent bathroom facility made of cinder blocks and the most violent flushing toilets I have ever experienced. Stand back when you pull that lever. But they said, so I asked, come on, Michelle, if you've been there, you know. I asked if they're building anything or tearing anything down. And they said, we don't have any construction dates to share at this point, as the team is still finalizing building plans. And I said, do you know how much things will cost? And they said, in terms of pricing, Willow Springs is still working on assessing its current pricing model. Rentals will begin to include the addition of trackside life safety, which I guess means fire truck and ambulance each time anybody uses it. So,
yep. Mandatory. Yeah. You run a racetrack in California, you have to have that. So it's a cost. You know, I guess you should follow up with them at the end of the summer and see what they've done and if they've got their pricing dialed in.
Yep. Yep. We'll see. We'll follow up. But, there's a lot of doom and gloom out there. We don't know what's going to happen, basically.
So. Right. They're working on it.
I mean, to me, it sounds like they could see potential upside financially by buying the place and not really having to even invest that much in it. You know, like it just sounds to me like they looked at the books and they were like, look, we make a few tweaks here and there, and this place is totally, you know, upside positive financially. We don't have to dump a bunch of money or do a bunch of tearing up and rebuilding. at least not quickly or immediately after purchase. That's my impression from everything you're saying, Mark.
But at the same time, I think it's a profit deal if they, this is just speculation on my part. I have nothing to back this up, but you make a lot of money if you put those $1 million homes around the track. So
right.
it would seem to be a good business idea.
Exactly. But there's no rush for that, right? They got the place, right. They have possession of it. And if they're not going to, they don't have to reconfigure any existing stuff. They just have to start zoning and start building, additional structures up there. And all of which is great news, because I think if all of us are like, well, it's the same track with more houses around it, but it's otherwise the same track, I think all of us will be very happy.
Yeah, and the marketing is probably minimal because they already have a lot of people who love that place and want to race there.
Yep. Yeah. It is the closest one to L.A., right? I think so.
Yep.
And it's a good track. It's fun. So see what happens. Anyway, speaking of racing, we are talking about, is this news or is this reviews?
This is
Earnhardt is the number one original 4-part documentary series on Amazon Prime Video. Michelle dug this up. Michelle, have you looked at, have you seen any of the series, Earnhardt?
Well, I saw the preview. They had a little, a promo preview. It looks excellent. There's archival footage, as far as I could tell. It goes into his racing life on and off the track. Okay. So every race car driver, it's that way. you have to put up with that race schedule and that race life. So they delve into his family dynamics as well. Brought to you by the dynamic duo of Ron Howard, who us boomers will know as Opie. And his longtime business partner and producer, Brian Grazer. And they have put together some wonderful films over the years. Won Oscars, the whole thing. So there's good people behind this series. Mark was saying that he was starting to watch the first episode, which had just started May 22nd.
I have watched 27 minutes of episode 1 of 4, and I was very impressed with it. It's not... it shows him good and bad. Yeah, I guess nobody's perfect, and they say, well, here are the parts where he wasn't perfect. But there's commentary from Dale Jr. and his sister Kelly, and other drivers, and it looks very good so far. The first 27 minutes that I've seen of it that I just watched. So, and you can get it on Amazon Prime Video. So, it's a good watch.
That the thing is with Amazon Prime, if you are a member, which you should be, just saying, video's free. You can check out these episodes. It won't cost you a dime, and you can watch them on your computer. I mean, so easy.
Yep. Yep.
I had no idea. I had no idea this existed. Being on this show has given me a new thing to check out. I'm glad to hear about this.
Yeah, so we got you watching Duster, I hear. You're watching Duster, Carl.
You've gotten me sucked into that one. I got the notice that another episode dropped this past week that I have not yet seen, so I will be diving in. But it's more than just a show about a cool old Plymouth. Let's just put it that way. But that cool old Plymouth does play that starring role.
Yeah, it is a cool show, but it's gruesome.
It's HBO. I mean, they don't know how to do things that aren't gruesome. So.
This is true.
It's no Game of Thrones, people. Don't be too scared. There's Game of Thrones. If you've survived Game of Thrones, the Dusty's like G-rated.
I have not watched Game of Thrones.
Oh, I did. I was an addict. Yes.
That's some great TV, but you got to have a stomach for it.
Because it's weird.
All right.
I like the weird.
Speaking of stomach, the market does not have the stomach for electric cars. Michelle, what did you find out?
Do you have the Grim Reaper soundtrack?
We don't.
Well, we have to cue that for the poor Dodge Charger Daytona RT trim. All right. So recently, we're talking this spring. The Charger people decided to launch their EV Charger, and they had the two trim levels, which one was the RT, which is the lower entry level type trim level, and then the Scat Pack, which was the more aggressive and more upscale styling of
3.3 seconds, 0 to 60. That's
yeah. You know, it's an EV, right? What could go wrong here? It's fabulous. You can get it in a two-door. You can get it in a four-door. I went to they had a launch event here in Mission Viejo in Orange County in February. So we had We had the executives come out from Michigan. And we had these guys talking all about the design features and what they went into with. They made a lot of efforts on this particular charger. And it seemed to me like, what could go wrong here? But the problem is the market was not happy about this.
Could have foreseen that the typical muscle car guy is not an electric car guy? Who could possibly have seen that? I remember seeing this. I think I first saw it at CES, maybe also at SEMA. And I thought, well, it looks nice, but, you know, there's just, I don't know. And Michelle is telling us our instincts were right.
Yeah.
I'm the target audience for that car, right? I mean, I'm a longstanding Dodge guy. I've had 3 Dodge Challengers, 2 old ones and 2 new ones in my life. No, sorry, 4 Dodge Challengers in my life. And I mean, I was telling people when they were interviewing me in my analyst role, I was trying to, you know, take a more dispassionate third. And I was like, look at the profile of Dodge fans and look at the profile of EV fans. Okay. They couldn't be more disparate. Okay. No other brand is going to have more trouble trying to leap from internal combustion to electric powertrains than Dodge. I was saying this 3 years ago. And surprise, surprise. People aren't embracing an electric version of a muscle car, certainly not the Dodge people. And I might have said this before on the show, I can't remember if I've told people this, but I always felt bad for whoever managed their social media. Because if they put up something like the new Charger that's powered by batteries, all the responses are just like, these things are terrible. They, you know, we hate this. Bring back the V8s and all. And if they put up a picture of a Hellcat or a Demon or something, people would say things like, oh, that guy that can't get over his last girlfriend. There was no way they could win. You know, it was just like, it's like, okay, all you got to do is watch the Instagram feed and the comments for Dodge. And you know that this is doomed. This was, again, a year and a half ago. This was doomed from the beginning. And it's like, they cannot win for going this way. Nobody. It wasn't like, well, like, you know, half, 50, 80, 70. No. 100% of the comments were just slamming everything that related to the brand. Nobody was out.
So Dodge is dropping but to be clear here, they're only dropping the entry level RT package, the Scat Pack model that gets 0 to 60 in 3.3 mind numbing seconds is still on the market. But what we have since noticed also in the past week is that the mighty internal combustion V8 is still going strong. Dodge Durango keeps the Hellcat alive. Just when you think Durango Hellcat's days are numbered, Dodge gave it a reprieve, like Dodge did with its Charger and Challenger models before launching the new Charger. The brand started rolling out a series of Durango models under the Last Call guys in 2024. Dodge is adding another year to the current Durango production run and is including the Hellcat, which was originally only planned for the 2021 model year. So Dodge says Durango GT and RT models are set to arrive in dealerships in the third quarter of 2025. Now, I think it was last week or the week before we told you about the Highway Patrol is getting some Dodge Durango Pursuit models.
Right.
So, you know, they're doing their part. You know, it's just... So
if the 2024 was the last call and now we're hitting it, what is this, like the post-mortem call? What is the name?
Some bars will say last call, you know, for a long time. And
apparently they will.
Apparently.
For a couple of years.
That's not the only V8 internal combustion engine that is being strung along. GM just invested, can I round this up to $1 billion? $888 million in a U.S. plant for the next-gen V8 from General Motors. Heavily invested, GM has heavily invested in EVs over the past couple of years. They launched, the Equinox EV, the Cadillac Escalade IQ, the Chevy Silverado EV truck. but they are not giving up. And I wonder how much this was influenced by the current administration and its demand of keeping manufacturing here in the U.S. I don't know. Our story at AutoWeek.com does not speculate on that. But yeah, GM is not giving up on internal combustion V8s. And it announced this week that it will be investing $888 million in the production of a new generation of V8 engines. The sixth gen of GM's small block V8 is due to start production in 2027 and will continue to be built at the Tonawanda Propulsion Plant in Buffalo, New York. So, Carl, are you rejoicing? Internal combustion V8?
Live the V8. Long live the V8. Woo-hoo.
Right? I mean, I have to say on the EVs that Dodge had us, you know, check out, they had manufactured noise, right? And that, again, I think that was another non-starter. The V8 has its own unique sound, and you can't just pipe it in.
No, don't get me started. I could do a 15-minute spiel on engine noise coming out of speakers and amplifiers, but the short version is it's a bad idea.
Okay. So, yeah, all the right. Ford's in the V8 business too, right? I mean,
yeah, Ford's doing it. Ford's selling Coyote V8s in crates, and you can get a Hellcrate engine from Stellantis, and yeah, so all the big three are Howard.
Aston Martin, didn't Aston Martin make a comment recently like we're gonna keep making V8s?
Yeah. Ferrari did too. Ferrari did too. They're gonna make an internal combustion as long as they can.
Well, you know what I say, guys. There's reality, and you can love. You're allowed to love reality, and you're allowed to hate reality. You are not allowed to deny reality. That one you're not allowed to do. And I think there was a bit of reality denial going on from a combination of automakers and government regulators. But as I like to also say, reality always wins. In the end, you can deny reality, but that won't stop it from being reality.
But I must offer a slight rebuttal to Carl about this.
Says the EV guy.
Says the guy with two electric vehicles. The number of electric vehicles sold in the United States and around the world continues to go up. It is not going up as fast as it once was. It might even be what you could call a plateau, but it is going up. Yeah. It is not going to obviously replace internal combustion anytime soon, but enough about that. Let's not get sidetracked. I know Carl loves to bludgeon me with the cylinder head of truth, but Carl also is going to talk about something from IC Cars. Carl, what is going on?
That's right. Let's color this show a little bit more positively. Car colors. Woohoo. Just, yeah, see what I did there, Michelle? See how I did
that? Nice segue, Carl.
Yes. Every year at IC Cars, we do our color study, car color study. And we just have this ability with all the data we've got to kind of see which car colors are best for maintaining vehicle value or avoiding depreciation, and which are the worst for increasing depreciation. And, you know, I've got a whole, you know, like so many things you might have already figured out, I've got a whole spiel and an opinion when it comes to car colors. And I think it's kind of one of these like manufactured realities, right? I believe that when you look around and you see all these black, white, silver, and gray cars, most people are saying to themselves, well, I'm not really that big a fan of those colors, but everyone else seems to be. So if I'm buying one, I should get one in that color so I can make sure I resell it well. And when the dealers are ordering cars, well, I can always sell a black, white, silver, gray car. I get one of those weird green cars. Oh, who knows about that? Get a buyer. So I think if everyone is doing that, then we're all living in this manufactured reality where we all are assuming we all like these four colors. And I love it when data backs up my crazy theories. So we just did our study. We've been doing it for a few years. And as usual, the top colors for retaining value are not black, white, silver, or gray. They are, this year, yellow, orange, green, and beige. So a lot of people like yellow. Nobody likes yellow. How could yellow be the car that's best color for maintaining your car's value? And you have to remember, this isn't a representation of the most popular color. It's a representation of the colors that hold value the best. And that means supply demand. if there are very few people who want yellow cars, but even fewer yellow cars available than the few yellow cars that someone was brave enough to buy when they were new, can get a premium on the used market. Same thing for orange, green, beige, and red is number five, the top five. So that's what the study says in a nutshell. And we kind of break it out by color or by segment too. So we have the most popular colors, or I should say the colors that hold their value the best, by pickup trucks, by SUVs, by sedans, by minivans, and by coupes and convertibles. But in general, every one of those segments I just said, it's the more obscure colors. And in general, it's the common colors, black and white and silver, that don't hold their value very well. Because guess what? If you want a black, white, or gray car or silver, you know, you can't swing a dead lithium ion EV battery without hitting one of those colors.
He just had to get that out. He always manages to do that. Michelle, we are going to, okay, so we are moving to the review section where we review cars. Mm-hmm. And Michelle just spent a week in the Motor City with an actual Motor City made car. Michelle, tell us about it.
When you're in Detroit, you must drive an American car. This is my rule. So whenever I go there and I get to pick a car, I want a Ford or a Chevy or a GM, you know, product. I may have told you, Carl, you didn't have to listen to my dissertation last year when my process of picking the car. You can't have a plate from Ohio because people in Michigan hate people from Ohio. So when there's one that has come in from Ohio, you have to pass that, even if it's the one you want to drive. You cannot take it. Same with Minnesota. Same with Wisconsin. No, it has to say Michigan. So
Michigan people just kind of hate everybody. Is that really what we're learning from this?
Yes, pretty much. They think they're the best. Mm-hmm. So I had some Chevys and some Fords. Last year I had the Trailblazer. This year I got the Trax. Now, the Trax is a small SUV. Some people will call this a crossover. It's a 5-passenger vehicle. It's 2 rows. It is the smallest SUV in the Chevy lineup of SUVs. It's under the Trailblazer, which is under the Equinox, the Blazer, then the Traverse, then the Tahoe, and of course, the king of all SUVs, the Suburban. So it is tiny. So, but it's not too bad as far as handling. I'll just get all the bad stuff out of the way first. Like, okay, it's an entry level car. It sells for in the 20s. So what do you get with that? You get some wind noise. You get fabric seats. You get seats that aren't heated. You get a lot of plastic on your dash, you know, but this thing handles so much better than I thought it would. I was like, oh boy, I'm going to feel like I'm in a tin can, bumping around on those horrible roads because they do have snow. And so the roads are notoriously bad, almost as bad as California. Thought I'd throw that in there for Governor Newsom. Anywho,
Utah.
It was a pleasure to drive. My son-in-law is 6'2". He got the back seat. He did not complain. I kept asking him, you okay back there? No problem. We took it on a road trip up to the Upper Peninsula. That's a 4-hour drive from Detroit. And then, of course, we had to drive back. So I spent, over 500 miles in this car. Not one complaint from the back seat. Yay. We took it everywhere. And we took it in the rain. And no problems at all. It actually has a rear windshield wiper, which, again, would you expect that at this low trim level? No, you wouldn't. But, for what it is, it got good gas mileage. I actually hit 40 at one point. I did a whole bunch of, checks to check my mileage as we were doing highway. We were doing combination city highway a lot. It got really in the high 30s a lot. So, and it was not rated for that. It's rated officially at 28 mpg combined. So I did better than what I was expecting. Let's see, what else? Cargo space. Okay, so in the back, it has 25.6 cubic feet of cargo space. And if you fold down the seats, which you can, you'll go up to 54. So it's not bad that way either. We have a starting price of $21,895. I challenge you to find another SUV in that price range. As tested, I had the LT trim level, and that came out at $23,595 and made in South Korea, so there's a destination fee.
Okay.
It gets good reviews. I mean, I was really surprised, but for the entry level, I saw a ton of them around my daughter's apartment complex.
So if you needed parts, you just unscrew them from the neighbor's car, put them on your...
Correct. Yes.
Excellent plan. Excellent plan. Well, I drove something that was a little less practical. In fact, a lot less practical. Don't worry, Carl. We're going to get to your car. But I drove a Morgan Plus 4. Have you ever heard of Morgan before? Anybody?
Yes.
They're British. They're founded in 1913.
Cheerio.
For a lot of their history, they were making three-wheelers. They were still making three-wheelers just recently. The car that they have now is called the Morgan Plus 4. So it's a two-seater, four-cylinder engine with the engine in the front driving the rear wheels, and the seats are way back almost on top of the rear axle. So I got to drive this because I know the guy at Morgan West at 3003 Pico Boulevard in Santa Monica. Dennis Glavis is the guy who runs that. He's been a friend for years and years. And he said, why don't you come out and drive this new car? And so I did. So for about the past 20 years, Morgans have featured not the three-wheelers, but this one features a BMW four-cylinder engine. Sitting in the front, longitudinally mounted with a BMW automatic transmission driving the rear wheels. And it had the top down, and I was it was a colder day earlier in the week, and I was freezing to death. I had on just a sweatshirt, and I put the sleeve of the sweatshirt around the circular heater vent in the front, hoping that it would inflate my whole sweatshirt with hot air, and in fact, all it did was burn my knuckles off. So as you can see, I was an English major, not an engineer. I thought of stopping at a Home Depot and getting just a section of a dryer hose vent and attaching the thing and putting it, jamming it inside the sweatshirt. But, you know, I toughed it out, and I made it all the way from Santa Monica to Latigo Canyon. Do you say Latigo or Latigo?
That would be Latigo.
Latigo. Thank you, Michelle. And went up there and drove it around. It's fun. It is a fun, lightweight. I mean, the power to weight ratio, I think the curb weight, I think, is about 2,200 pounds. So it's, Dennis said to imagine it as a BMW Z4 that's even lighter. Hmm. So it is manufactured and imported under the small volume manufacturer rule. So even though that it sounded good when they wrote the rule, it wound up being a lot more complicated than people thought. So Morgan had to certify this for U.S. production with this engine in it. But we had fun. I had fun. There was nobody with me. So me and my alter ego had fun. To inflate the lumbar, there's a lot of cute little things about this. To inflate the lumbar support, there's one of those hand squeezy things, the same thing when you get your blood pressure done. So I'm pumping that up. It was kind of cute. There's wood trim around the inside of the dash and on the center console to remind you that previous Morgans were made out of some parts of them were wood in the frame. It has these little half doors on them. They're like those aftermarket Jeep doors, you know, that are sort of doors, but not really. it's much nicer than the previous Morgans that had, you know, too many weird idiosyncrasies. It actually starts, you turn a key and it starts. What can I tell you about this? I took it up Latigo Canyon, and I was going around corners and it felt a little bit light on the front end. You could get the inside front wheel to squeal pretty easily. It was a lot harder to get the outside front wheel to squeal. And if you're making the rear tire squeal, you're really pushing it. But it was fun. It was an enjoyable car. Everybody seemed to like it. Nobody thinks you're a jerk when you drive this. And I enjoyed it. Now, the pricing, it's weird because we don't know what the tariffs are going to be. If, in fact, there are going to be any tariffs, we are all just, Dennis was saying, nobody knows. You know, the importers don't know. Nobody knows what this tariff is. It comes and goes. It changes every couple of days. So minus the tariffs, the cost is $84,995. But when I got this car on that particular day, Dennis thought that the tariff would amount to 27.5%. But if you bought a car that was brought in earlier, then it didn't have that percentage of tariff. We don't know. He says nobody knows how the tariffs are going to work. And so but these cars are not bought by people who are too worried about the price. Now, obviously, $84,995, you know, that's a wealthy individual. And he says that most of these people have been dreaming about this car. And finally, their dream comes true. And they get it. It's a functional, easy to drive, fun to drive car. Maybe there's a little bit too much understeer. Maybe, I don't know, maybe the front end is lighter. He didn't know, and I did not measure whether the front end, you know, what the weight balance was. It felt a little bit perhaps more rear biased. I don't know. But it was fun. It was a good time, and everybody loved it. You got thumbs up, et cetera, et cetera. So I had fun in a Morgan Plus 4, and you can too, down at Morgan West, 3003 Pico Boulevard in Santa Monica. We're not getting any money from them, by the way. Not a nickel.
We don't have any sponsors.
It's a cool little setup down there. And speaking of cool setups, Carl drove one too. Carl, not the Morgan. He drove his own vehicle here. What was it, Carl?
Yeah. So after I got done, you know, kind of presenting my opinion on the EV movement attempt, I drove an electric vehicle. See, it's proof that even an old dog like me can try to learn new tricks. But no, I was on the Hyundai Ioniq 9 press launch a few weeks ago. It was in Savannah, Georgia, a lovely part of the country, and also where Hyundai has broken ground in October of 22 and started producing cars in October of 24. That's pretty quick, by the way, in case you didn't know. But they were able to crank up this plant that is now going to be making the Ioniq 9. And they are already producing vehicles, and the car is already at dealerships. And this is a big three-row luxury-ish SUV. It starts at $60,000 for a base version. It goes up to about $75,000. And it's pretty interesting because there's a wide range of specifications you can get. It's not like, you know, they're all kind of the same. They're actually quite different. You can get rear-wheel drive only. You can get all-wheel drive. You can get a smaller battery or a bigger battery. But honestly, even if you get a loaded one, sorry, the top price is right below $80,000. It's like $79,000. Even a loaded one, honestly, for what you're getting at $79,000, $80,000 for big three-row luxurious electric-powered SUVs, that's a pretty competitive price. You know, there's things like the Kia EV9 is kind of related to this car because Hyundai, Kia are kind of related. And there's also the Rivian SUV, which I think is more expensive, and Lucid is going to be coming out with their SUV soon and all. So there's starting to be actually some three-row electric-powered SUV availability. There wasn't a couple of years ago. There were none of these. But I would argue that this one, as far as value for the money, kind of very Hyundai-like, is pretty good. And if you get like the base model, it has 215 horsepower, and it'll do 0 to 60 in kind of like 8.5 seconds, not that quick. But if you get the all-out performance version, all-wheel drive, 422 horsepower, it'll do 0 to 60 in about 4.9 seconds. So when you think about it, three rows of people in this very roomy kind of boxy shaped electric SUV.
That's pretty
good. 0 to 60 in 5 seconds. That's like, woohoo. So that's pretty cool. It really is kind of neat looking too. Like I like the styling. Hyundai and Kia both, they got their quality handled really like 20 years ago, but most people didn't know it. They were still suffering from first impressions from like the 80s and 90s, but their cars really were solid mechanically 20 years ago. Then they realized the next way to get people into the brand was to have them attractive. And they started getting European designers that were formerly BMW guys to start designing their cars. And I'd say for the last 10 plus years, easy, they've been a very nice looking cars too, besides being mechanically stable. And they're still, high value in spite of the solid mechanical quality and the great styling. You'll usually pay less than the equivalent Japanese car like a Honda or a Toyota. So good value in this car. It's got all sorts of features and advanced technology and premium elements to it. Cooled seats. It's got like, what's the thing called when the thing that comes up under your foot when you roll back in a seat, a reclining seat, an ottoman. It's got the reclining seats in the back, second row. It's got power folding, second and third row seats. And it's neat looking. So again, I question, we're going to go back to Carl's old dog form now. I question the functionality of a three-row family SUV powered by batteries, because in my opinion, you kind of want to like start driving with all those people and do your summer vacation. And if you're trying to drive more than a couple hundred miles in an electric car, it becomes a big planning and logistical process to make sure you can keep going.
Carl's bashing the EV. Most of your driving, 95% of your driving, is just around town. Electric cars, electricity is cheaper. And let's not get sidetracked.
But let's not get sidetracked with a three-row family SUV that if you want to go do a family road trip, it's like, okay, let's get out the map and get out the scheduling and get out
it
the
is
app.
Possible to do. I have done road trips. I think even you have done road trips in electric cars. Michelle, I think also we've all done them. It's so easy to devolve into partisan bickering here on the car show. But I think that's what people want to hear. They want to hear.
That's right.
So, Ioniq 9,
if you want a battery powered three row SUV, of all the ones that are available, and there's starting to be more every day, I think it's probably the most compelling one in terms of price. Oh, they all get over 300 miles range, by the way, since we were talking about range.
Okay.
Even the all out high performance one is 311, and it goes up from there.
Thank you. 30 seconds left. We want to thank Carl and Michelle for coming onto the show. They don't get any money, by the way, neither do I. But we just love cars. We want to thank Wendell and Master Control. Actually, we're just assuming Wendell's still in Master Control. I haven't been to the studio in a long time. So we want to welcome you or encourage you to stick around for Rhapsody in Black, music that sounds great on your car audio system. Stick around for Jim Dawson and Ray Regalado. And we will see you. Oh, wait, we have 5 seconds left.
I wanted to say, I'm going to try to get photos from you guys of this Morgan Plus 4 and this Ioniq 9 up on our Facebook page at the car show at 90.7 FM. So go check it out.
We will. We will do all that. And we will see you guys, all of you, next week here on the car show.
Support for KPFK comes in part from journalist Chris Hedges, who'll be having a fundraiser for the station in Los Angeles discussing his book, A Genocide Foretold, reporting on survival and resistance in occupied Palestine. The event is taking place this evening, Saturday, May 31st, at 3376 Motor Avenue in Los Angeles, 90034. Carpooling is highly recommended, and please avoid backpacks and large bags. Doors open at 5 p.m. Community speakers begin at 6 p.m. Chris Hedges begins at 6:30. You can find more information on tickets at kpfk.org, where there's a clickable Chris Hedges banner.
Yeah. Support comes from Wilgear Theatricum Botanicum, presenting outdoor repertory theater, events, and educational programs for all ages this June through October 2025. Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream is back, along with Much Ado About Nothing, Strife, The Seagull Malibu, Wine in the Wilderness, and a world premiere, Echoes of the New World. The Theatricum is located in the heart of Topanga Canyon, just off the 101 freeway.